This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Open for Business. I'm joined in the studio today by Ria Sankaran from Fresco Grano.
Fresco Grano, please.
Grano, the founder of the company.
Yes, hello. Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So a couple of weeks ago, I was walking through my local grocery store and looking for some bread. And I happened across one of your products, the whole meal bread.
The heavenly whole meal, you mean?
The heavenly whole meal, yes. Yeah. GMO-free, organic, gluten-free, and vegan.
It's vegan. But the heavenly whole meal is not gluten-free.
Oh, it's not
we have
gluten-free.
Other flavors that are gluten-free. Yeah.
So first things first, without gushing too much, I thought it was delicious. All right.
Thank you.
It has now become a staple of my kitchen.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Thank you. Now, I noticed, as I mentioned to you in the email that I sent you, that you've been on the show a couple of times before.
That's right, yeah.
Open for Business about five years ago. And then you did another show a couple of years after that, where the first one, of course, you were talking about how your business started and whatever. So that with that being 5 years ago, I wanted to kind of look at what happened back then and kind of revisit for the people who haven't heard that interview about your business, you know, why you decided to go organic and vegan at a time back then when I think not a lot of people were kind of doing that. It was a very kind of niche market, you know, and I think to a degree it still is. But tell me, why did you choose to move into baked goods and specifically organic vegan goods?
Okay, to begin with, it all started with the fact that I think it's a similar story to why a lot of entrepreneurs, especially female entrepreneurs, started off at that time and maybe even now. I was basically a new mom and I had left the corporate world, but I had this deep sort of desire to work on something. And at the same time, I was really interested in providing organic food, clean food that didn't have preservatives and coloring to my children, especially my son who's asthmatic and he's got all these food allergies. So the two came together. And I used to go out to do my grocery shopping at the supermarkets that we are currently at. And I would be able to find organic vegetables, fruits, dry goods, but not necessarily just the simple pre-sliced bread that's organic. And so I suppose in hindsight, I probably was just trying to fill in the gap. Mm. And that's how the whole thing started.
That still happens now. You know, you can still go down to the supermarket at certain times and not find the bread that you want or one thing or another. So how much of a difficult process was it to actually start the business? I mean, okay, you've got an idea. You know, I want to be filling a gap. What was your next step?
I had to do a lot of research because I'm not a baker by profession, but we do love to cook at home.
Right.
We do like to make our own food. So I researched a lot of recipes and I basically used my family and friends as guinea pigs and worked on creating something that I was proud of. And as soon as my kids could accept the loaf that I was baking for them, I was confident. And my next step was to go and pitch to the retailers.
Oh, that you went straight to the retailers?
I did.
Wow. And what did they have to say?
Because my idea, as I mentioned before, was I was going to these supermarkets looking for that bread. And
you
I
don't have
find
the
it.
Stuff that I need.
Yes. So I figured I couldn't have been the only one. Mm. So I created something. I believed in it. Of course, I did approach my family and friends to see if they would buy it first. Mm. And when I saw a little bit of traction, I just contacted the retailers. It was a bit difficult to get my foot in through the door at first because nobody had heard of me. But I think I'm a bit convincing. So I went in with my idea and my product and I met with the people who would make the decision to buy my product or not.
Right.
And I managed to convince them because I think they also, I mean, they must be experienced in their consumers. So I think that they identified with my idea.
Mm. And how persistent were you?
To be honest, initially, I don't think well, to get my foot in through the door, to even get a meeting, I needed to be really persistent because nobody had heard of me. Mm. So I had to work on calling the same person, sending in emails, maybe like for 6 months. Yeah.
Wow.
Before I could actually get the meeting. But as soon as I got the meeting and showed them my product, from there on, it was not so difficult.
Before you were going into these meetings then with these people from the supermarkets and whatnot, had you kind of decided on a brand and an image for that brand? Because that's often very important, particularly for something like this kind of product, right?
Absolutely. Because coming from the corporate world where I was an employee, and then all of a sudden I had this opportunity to create something all of my own, I thought it was really exciting to sort of put myself out there and to sort of showcase what I thought and what I believed in. So by nature, I'm a little bit hippie and a little bit rebellious. And I think, to be fair, it sort of represents the organic industry as well, because it's going back to the 1960s, 70s, where you sort of plant your own food and, you know, you're going against manufacturing and fast production.
Consumerism.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I knew after working on the business proposal and doing the nitty-gritty of the numbers, I knew I wanted to portray, I thought it would be fun as well to sort of portray the brand identity as colorful, which is why the packaging and the logo is orange, my favorite color, you know. I think it would grab people's attention, which is also the reason why we've got the front of the packaging is actually the 1960s VW combi van. And at the back, we've got the hippie renegade mom who gives out a little bit of information. And if you really look closely, we went as far as to try to represent our children in the packaging. So if you look at the bottom of the loaf, you'll see the original music score to Eric Clapton's Layla, which is my niece's name. And we've got a couple of other Easter eggs in there to represent my son and my daughter as well.
Are we going to have a look later on then?
Yes, please.
Okay, so you've got your product. You know what you're making. You have a brand identity. Where did the funding come for this? How did you manage to get the money together? I know it's an awkward question, but I've got to ask.
I've got no shame in answering that because we are a small company and I'm proud of the size that we are at. The initial funding came from my good old dad. And thereafter, once there was some traction, we self-funded with our own savings, my husband's and mine. And of course, we reinvested the profits from the business to keep going.
Now, as a young startup and a young mother with kids, you know, it's a lot of stress, you know, to start your own business first and foremost, you know, but especially when you're raising kids, especially kids who have specific needs as well. How did you kind of balance that? And I don't ask you that just because you're a woman and you're a mother. I ask that, you know, in terms of many entrepreneurs who come into this and they're young and they have a young family and they're doing it for the benefit of their family. You know, how did you kind of balance that act?
There's no balance, I think, to be honest. Yeah, I don't think there's ever a proper balance. I've never achieved it anyway. I'd like to hear from anybody who has. But I think it's about prioritizing what you want to do. And I've always had this thing in the background where I included my children in my work. So, you know, after school, they are there at the bakery. If I needed to go and do some promotional activities, they'll be sort of lingering in the background. Of course, I you know, there's a little bit of a guilt, you know, being a mom, should you bring your kids around these things? But I believe that I want to show them what I'm doing because I think that would be good for them, for their future and how they view things and how they view life. So that's why, to me, the inspiration behind the company is always the children and the future, because I just want to do something that I can leave behind for other people to carry on. So
when you say other people, do you mean your kids? Would you like that for them to take over from where you kind of...
Oh, no. I'm the cool hippie mom, remember? So they can do whatever they like. But it's not the business per se, but it's the idea behind the business of doing things that are a bit honest and clean. Not a bit, honest and clean.
You said you had no experience in baking, right? And you found and experimented and you've tested it on your friends, you've got your product. How do you then decide, okay, I'm making it by hand now, you know, and I'm assuming you are, in a bunch of bowls and passing them around and you, whatever. How do you then know which, you know, machines you're going to rely on, which you're going to use and which are reliable and which you can kind of, yeah, which are reliable, I guess. How do you know which is a good brand? You're starting a business from scratch. You don't necessarily know anybody who's a baker. You know, who do you go to for advice?
I actually did a lot of research and I did go to a small bakery, which was operating nearby where I lived. And I trained a little bit with this baker. Apart from that, you know, a lot of information is online and you sort of know certain names of, for example, ovens. Okay, ovens are the most important thing for us, right? Yep. So we know, okay, this brand is the reliable brand. And if there's any breakdowns, you can go back to them. Basically, it takes a lot of work in terms of reading up, calling, making the mistakes and learning from them. I also had a little bit of background in manufacturing, not so much bread or food, but I observed from where I used to work the flow of things and how you need to basically take care of your team and you need to have a process and you need to have your SOPs. So I may not have had the experience in terms of baking, but I had worked up till until that time before I started. So I think maybe I had a bit of a mature mind to sort of work things out really.
Right. I'm in the studio with Ria Sankaran. She is from Fresco Grano. And we're talking baked goods and bread and all of that kind of lovely stuff. We've just had a bit of a catch up as to how she started her business, how it was funded, and how she got to the place that she's at. That was 5 years ago when it first started. When we come back, I want to catch up on what's happened within those 5 years, how things have changed, what we're going to be looking at towards the future. We'll have a chat about that. You are tuned in to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Baba from Malacca. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Ria.
She is from
Fresco Grano.
What do you do over there?
Bake.
You bake. right. So if you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. Go download the podcast. I was walking through a grocer's. I managed to pick up a loaf of bread. It was Ria's bread. And I said, you know, this is somebody I want to contact. I want to talk to them about this. It's delicious. I then found out that they'd been featured on BFM around 5 years ago. And I was a little bit jealous that somebody managed to get to them before I did. But that kind of left me in a bit of a pickle where I wanted to know what had happened in the last 5 years. Because for me, it was the first time I'd actually seen your product. And I'm in that grocer's a lot. And so either it's clearly a product that comes in on specific days. People really kind of obviously, you know, have a relationship with it, which is why they're buying it. And it's not there when I tend to be there, right? So that left me with a question. What the heck has happened in the last 5 years, right? So what has happened in the last 5 years? Has your production gone up? Have you expanded in terms of the supermarkets that you're dealing with? You know, has your brand presence increased? Has the way in which you've started marketing changed? There's a whole bunch of questions I'm throwing at you all at once.
I was about to say,
but you know where I'm going with this, right? So how have things changed in the last 5 years? In your own words, you know, start me off. And then let's just see where we go with it.
Okay. Needless to say, plenty has changed in the past 5 years. So we'll start with production. Definitely, I've had to increase the quantity that we produce in order to meet the demand. It's probably taken some time for the bread to get to you because it did take some time for us to grow because we've been growing organically. As I said, funding is just has been internal all this while. So we've had limited resources.
Right.
Also, I think, you know, I personally was learning how to run this business and I didn't want to grow too fast because I wanted to maintain the quality of how we do things. In hindsight, as you said, we've been able to keep that relationship with our customers and some of our customers are with us and they started with us 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they contact us personally and place their orders and we deliver to their homes and their offices. So yes, in terms of production, we are producing more. But apart from that, we started off just doing organic and gluten-free breads. But because of the demand and the feedback from our customers, we've had to expand that range of products to include cakes, granolas, cookies as well.
Is that because people have said, oh, your bread is so good, do you do anything else?
That's correct, yes. So they were saying that, oh, since you do, you know, gluten-free bread, would you mind helping me out? You know, my daughter's gluten intolerant and I would really like a birthday cake. And so from there, again, I researched and we developed new recipes. And from gluten-free, we had more customers coming up to us saying that they had other dietary requirements, like being vegan. They didn't want dairy or eggs in their baked goods. So we grew and we learned from there, which I was really happy to do because it was something that I had sort of envisioned moving in that direction as well. So we, as to recap, we produce more. We produce a bigger range of things. Apart from production, the way we market our products has definitely changed.
In what way?
When we first started 5 years ago, all we had was a small Facebook page and we would just put like really basic information there. We also did like, you know, sampling where myself and my staff, we would stand at the supermarkets and hand out samples of our bread for people to taste.
Yep.
And then we worked really hard at all these food fairs. We'd set up our booths and try to sell our stuff. But now, after 5 years, I think people know us a little bit more. So we focus our marketing efforts more on running campaigns, especially during festive seasons. You know how Malaysians, yeah, we love our festivals.
There's one every other week, right?
We love it. It's just who we are. Apart from that, we also have this membership program, which I'm really proud of. So you can become a Frescano and enjoy your rebates and discounts and things like that. Another thing that we've started as of mid last year, which I'm very excited about, is that we have and we're working on building relationships with other players in the wellness industry, such as gyms and yoga centers and also other food producers who we feel complement our brand and what we do. And I think this is good for the industry, and it's nice because I feel that we get to add value to consumers across the board.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about then the growing movement of stuff like veganism and organic food. And I'm assuming back then, 5 years ago, the movement was less than what it is now.
Minuscule,
yeah. I mean, even now, it's difficult enough to find a half-decent vegan meal. You know, there's a few restaurants around town that you can go, but it's the same few restaurants serving very similar meals, right? But it's definitely started moving forwards. Now, as that happens, and as you've got products lined up right now, are you still developing new stuff for like looking ahead for what might happen? Or are you reactionary? Or?
Absolutely, yes, right. Because I'm a vegetarian myself. Mm. So I go out looking for things that would suit me, but the rest of my family isn't. Mm. So I know the pain of wanting to be out there and having these products available to me. And I take personal interest. To me, it's really exciting to develop a cake that's vegan and to use alternative ingredients, yeah, to sort of create a similar taste. Or if it's not a similar taste, at least it's maybe more healthy, it has more nutrients. So definitely we do react to creating more recipes because that's our bread and butter, no pun intended. And these are our customers, you see. Mm. So, yes.
What do you think of people who, and I know there are people out there who say, you know, there is no such thing as gluten intolerance. It's something that's in your mind. And, you know, what do you say to people like that?
Well, my husband's a doctor and he's a gastroenterologist, so he might say something to that.
Yeah.
Whether it's in your mind or whether it's physically happening, the point is a person is suffering. Especially for us, we get a lot of parents, as I said, who come in with kids who suffer from this intolerance. And, you know, it's not nice to not have a birthday cake.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's all I have to say to these people.
Mm.
Yep. And so we're going to keep doing what we can to address people's needs.
Right. And do you see this growing movement of people adopting a healthier lifestyle nowadays? Do you feel it?
Absolutely. I think the wellness industry on a general is definitely a growing one. I mean, more people go to the gym,
yeah.
More people do yoga, more people are into mental health even. And there's so much research and conversation going around how food directly affects all of these things. So I'm happy to say that, yes, there's definitely a more conscientious crowd about wellness and how to sort of self-care.
So you've spoken about how you're going to be working with wellness groups and, you know, potentially other food companies and producers. How else would you want to see Fresco Grano.
Yes.
How would you like to see it expand if you could? You know, and what would you need for that to happen, do you think?
How I'd like to see it going is definitely right now we are serving the customers that are within the Klang Valley, but we've had so much of requests from people who live outside the Klang Valley. So I definitely want to be able to serve that customer base better than what we're doing now. We are sort of doing it. We sort of send it through post and things like that. But I want to be able to serve more of them. That's where I would like to direct Fresco Grano. Apart from that, I want to be more innovative and have maybe like a bigger team in the kitchen.
How big is your team right now?
There's only six of us.
Six of us.
But it works because, as I said, we're very efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to focus and have a bigger team that can work on innovation in terms of coming up with gluten-free products, vegan products. It's something that excites me a lot. And also, I mean, in the future, it would be nothing but an honor to be able to bring our products and our vision outside of the country and to be able to represent Malaysia through Fresco Grano.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Right. Where can people buy your product? Where can they find out more information? And how do they sign up to your membership scheme?
Okay. Again, lots of questions. I'll try to answer all of them. We are available at Big Ben's, Village Grocers, Jaya Grocers, and some of the smaller organic shops like The Food Company and Vegan District. That's a vegan shop. Apart from that, you can just visit us on our website at www.frescograno.com and you can get lots of information there on how to become a Frescano. Our phone number is also there, so please feel free to just drop us a WhatsApp message or give us a call. We're more than happy to speak to everyone.
Rhea, thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station. We're catching up with Rhea Sankaran from Fresco Grano about what she's been up to over the last 5 years. More information. You have an Instagram page as well, right?
We do. It's Fresco_Grano.
There you go. You've been listening to Enterprise here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.